Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where will you be going this Christmas? Lots of folks, many of you included, I'm sure, travel during the holidays. Some of you have families just across town. Others will be traveling to and from the Twin Cities, and still others might be even traveling across the state or to other states. My son is already repeatedly telling us that on Christmas, after the service, we're going to go to Grandma and Grandpa Beamlanders. And I've heard that quite a few times already. Well, we will be driving our family anyway to Illinois and Michigan later this month. And now as much fun as a drive out in the country roads might be for some of you slow pokes, when I'm traveling across the country, I vastly prefer a nice, open, characterless interstate. No stoplights, no summer construction, real positive, just the occasional slowdown for traffic. On the one hand, the negative side of traveling during the winter is the possibility of snow. On the other hand, if there is no bad weather, the roads are clear, and you generally don't have to worry about construction. Well, our reading from Malachi today, and which also ties in with John the Baptist, apparently God prefers smooth sailing too. That's why in the book of Malachi he's talking about clearing the way, preparing the highway, making a smooth path for God to make a quick trip to his people. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to the temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Well, Malachi's point, God speaking through Malachi, his point is that God is going to come, and because the path, the highway is clear, he's going to arrive very quickly. Malachi, if you don't know anything about that book, it's the last of the minor prophets, and it's the last book of the Old Testament before we get to Jesus in Bethlehem, which we're preparing for. Malachi is a book in which God has a conversation with his people. If you know anything about the book of Job, at the end especially, Malachi is a little bit like that. God finally answers Job in the book of Job, and Job has nothing else to say. Well, the same sort of thing happens in Malachi. The people are asking questions, and God eventually answers them, and he follows up by asking his own questions. You see, the people of Israel are complaining because they have all kinds of problems. They're in exile, and they feel like God is not answering them. But by the time God is through with them, it's crystal clear that the one who should be impatient and complaining is God. Well, that's the setting for our reading from Malachi. After a bunch of whiny questions, God really starts to get worked up and says, I don't know why you're complaining. It's you who have made me tired, Israel. And the Israelites say, well, how come? God says, by telling me, since God isn't doing what we want, God must be evil. After all, he's rewarding the evil people we don't like with blessings, and he won't help us. Well, God replies, I am going to fix the problem. You will see when my messenger comes. You want me to fix things? Well, I'm going to, and you're not going to like it when I do. But will you really be ready for him when he comes? You say you want justice, and that's exactly what my messenger will bring, justice. He will be like a furnace in which a weapon is forged, a blowtorch of justice. All the impurities are going to be burned away. Or, an example that you ladies might appreciate a little more, he will be a cleansing agent, a soap that is better than anything you could find from Bath and Body Works. Israel will be clean, free of all unhealthy and unwholesome things. But be careful what you ask for. If you're not careful, you might end up finding out that you are dirty and that you need to be cleaned. Be careful, Israel, God says, that your filth and your iniquities don't betray you. In fact, God, it's kind of like God is saying, you want attention? Well, I'll give it to you, but you're not going to like it. You may be complaining that I'm not around, that I'm not doing anything. Well, look out, because I am coming close, real close, too close for comfort. I've come to judge you, God says in Malachi, and he says specifically to expel the sorceress, the adulterers, those who rob the worker of his wages, those who take advantage of the fatherless and the widow, but do not fear me. Well, you might be starting to get the hint that Malachi is warning his people that when his messenger comes, heads are going to roll. There's going to be some major cleaning up needed, like a parent coming back to find his children breaking things, or older children throwing a party without asking. God is not going to be happy when he returns and finds the state that Israel is in. John the Baptist will be doing exactly what Malachi is predicted he will. He'll be calling the people to repent of their sins, to start anew. The messenger is, after all, that God is predicting here, is John the Baptist. It's a verse that we had quoted in our gospel lesson just this past week. And he's going to do exactly the sorts of things that Malachi has said. He is going to purify Israel through fire and through a cleansing, through soap. There's going to be some major cleaning up. John, in fact, is not going to take it easy on anyone. In fact, those who seem to be the cleanest, who do the best job of looking clean on the outside, John calls them the dirtiest. You see, it's not just the tax collector and the sinner. He calls soldiers to repent, and most surprisingly, Pharisees to repent. It's a good reminder to us that it's not just some people who need to repent, but all of us. John would certainly, and for that matter, Jesus does call all of us to repent as well. Which, after all, that is exactly what John the Baptist is all about, repentance. Because as much as we might not like it, that's exactly the message we need to hear. Because we need God's help. None of us is perfect. And thank God that he has come to clean us up through repentance and not by simply wiping us off the face of the earth. Because I think when we're honest and we take a good hard look at this world, the evil in this world, the evil in our own lives, who can argue that it's unhealthy, filthy, and sinful? Something has to be done. And by God's grace, though he doesn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, no matter how much dirt might be covering us. He offers to clean us off. Even though Malachi talks about the refining fire, there's a lot of grace in the promise at the end, where Malachi promises that God does not change. He still loves his people in spite of all the problems they have, and he says he will not consume them. John the Baptist preaches repentance, and he prepares the way for Jesus. Have you ever wondered why it is that we always have a lot of John the Baptist right around Christmas time? Well, it's because John's message of repentance is what prepares us to really appreciate Christmas, to appreciate Jesus, not just the Christmas story, but the whole story of Jesus. See, without repentance, Christmas is just a nice story, a feel-good moment. Christmas might make sense to a department store trying to make sales or to an advertiser without repentance, but apparently God thought that Jesus only makes sense, he's only helpful to us when we repent. However, after we repent, that's when we get to hear the good news. God has forgiven us. That's what Christmas is all about, really, is Jesus, God, entering this world in the form of an infant in order that he might die for the forgiveness of our sins, that he might clean us up through baptism and through forgiveness. John prepares us for Jesus, and far and away the best way to prepare for Jesus is not to wrap presents or to sing carols, but to repent. You see, we talked about a highway at the beginning. Our sins are a roadblock to God. He won't come to us if we put a bunch of stuff in his way. The junk that is separating God from us must be cleared out. The sin must be pushed aside, plowed off the road like so much excess snow, and the highway must be cleared in order for Jesus to come to us. And after we have repented, we learn that Jesus has not come to condemn us, but to clean us. He has come not to kill, but to give life. That's why we can be so joyous in preparing for the coming of Christ, the King, this Christmas. The best way we prepare, not the only way, but the best way we prepare is by repenting of our sins and finding joy in the forgiveness that Christ has won for us. In Jesus' name, amen.